This is The Record. I'm Bill Radke. Over the past few weeks, we've been talking about the allegations of sexual harassment against Native author and filmmaker Sherman Alexie. But what's getting lost in that conversation? I'm here with The Record's producer, Ajua Jimabrempong. Hi, Ajua.
Hey, Bill.
What are we about to hear?
So we invited two women, Tracy Rector and Sarah Marie Ortiz, into KUOW. I was chatting with them, and they said that online, on Twitter, it's these kind of takedowns and cutting people out of anthologies and scholarships, kind of the standard Me Too script.
Mm-hmm.
But within the Native world, I think people are really see an opportunity for real community healing.
Community healing. We're going to listen now to filmmaker and arts advocate Tracy Rector. She's a member of the Choctaw Nation and executive director, co-founder of Longhouse Media, and Sarah Marie Ortiz. She's an Acoma Pueblo writer, filmmaker, and advocate. And they said that in the Native world, this discussion is not new.
We've been having this conversation for a long time, not specific to any one person, not one particular community member or relative, but the fact that there are lots of things in the Native community, and particularly the Native art world, the film world, the lit world, where we know that we've been built into and impelled in many ways by a system that wants our stories but doesn't necessarily want to honor our lives, and that sometimes it does end up being distilled as a black versus white, man versus woman kind of dichotomy, that it's not as nuanced as it can be, and that a lot of that is because our literatures, our narratives, our rights and lives, our struggles around sovereignty and land protection, they haven't been centered in the American narrative, in the American imagination, and that is something that needs to change.
So that makes me think about this idea of putting people on a pedestal. And how one of the issues with Sherman that I noticed, especially on social media, was that people were grappling with his prominence and the spotlight solely on him, and noticing that it was the infrastructure of the broader literary community that oftentimes tends to be white, and putting him up on that pedestal for various reasons. What are your thoughts about this, and how do we empower more writers and more voices to be noticed?
Well, I have lots of thoughts, more thoughts than we have all the time for here. So I'm grappling with that. But I should say as a preface, I love Sherman. I love him to death, and I love his family. I love his body of work, and I think that he's worked extremely hard, and that in a lot of ways he is doing an incredible service in this moment to all of us. And that's something that's not a popular statement, but that we needed him to rise, and we kind of need him to fall. We have him on the autopsy table now, and it's not just about Sherman. It really is about our community, our world of arts and letters.
Mm-hmm. We're in a time where I think that it's very real and very essential to our survival to think about what does balance mean. I noticed in the arts that much of what comes to the forefront of pop culture and what people remember or identify with has been masculine in nature, whether it be Black Panther or, in this regard, Sherman Alexie. He's had a voice that's resonated with many people because, in my opinion, our general broad society and culture doesn't tend to honor the feelings and voices of our young men and boys. And so I think that was something unique about Sherman's stories and his body of work, is that he was coming forward oftentimes with some incredibly personal stories, and stories that were bound in pain and fear. And people wanted this and needed this. And so I feel that his artwork brought balance in that regard. Men need to have a platform for expression. Men need to be recognized for being willing to share their innermost thoughts. But the way that, in my opinion, the way that he was propped up and put on the pedestals in this essentially kind of a black and white dominant way where there is just one person, there is this champion, there is a winner, and that person gets to be on a pedestal. And I don't know if that's a systemic issue or a cultural issue, but it does feel out of balance to me. So he presented and presents this interesting dynamic, in my opinion, where in many ways his voice brings and brought balance, but then the positioning of him as the winner, the champion of all Native writers, the voice, has brought a certain imbalance. And with what's happening, I agree with you, Sarah. You know, we needed him to shine, and in many ways, we need the shakeup as a community. There are so many incredible authors and writers and poets and scriptwriters who are Native women, and they truly deserve to be seen and heard. And unfortunately, there was not oftentimes a path, a clear path, for those voices to be uplifted and supported. And now we're starting to see them come forward. And so, yeah, so I agree with you. I'm grateful, even though this is devastating to grapple with these challenges, I'm grateful that there is a way that perhaps this can be constructive for our people and our communities moving forward.
Well, I'll say that we still need Sherman to shine. The fact that he has been kind of excoriated or stricken from the map of Native literature, that a lot of librarians and those who provide resources to the Native community, they're just like, Sherman needs to go away for a while or forever, kind of like Harvey Weinstein. But to me, that's totally anti-Native. That's counter to our teachings. And for me, I still need him to be healthy. I need him as metaphor and as just a man, one Native man who is a relative, who is our beloved community member. I need his heart to heal. I need him in my community. I want him in my community, and I want to have a very honest conversation with him, and many people do. They don't just want a comment from him. They don't just want a soundbite. They want to cry with him. They want to hold him and say, what the f*** happened, Sherman? And what's going to happen? And are you going to be okay? Are we going to be okay? And I'm saying to all the Native youth out there, all the Native men out there who have done a harm all along the spectrum of what that may mean, we need you. We need your hearts. We need you with us. We need you alive, and we need you strong, and we need you healthy. So you're not going to be cast out, and we are going to be strong, and we are going to hold you.
It's hard. You know, where is the space for us to be humans and to make mistakes? And that's something that's come up for me in this situation, is acknowledging his past, acknowledging his sovereignty as an adult man to make choices. But he's human, and he's a product of colonization and trauma and a community in pain, both the joys and the hurts that are birthed from those experiences. I don't know. I don't want to be under a microscope. I don't want to pretend that I'm perfect or that I have never made a mistake or that I will never make a mistake again. I want to be able to move forward in life and try my best and to ask for help when I need it. And I hope that we can extend this sort of consideration or compassion to more of those people around us. I think what's truly detrimental is holding secrets. And when we're able to acknowledge that we are complicated, messy human beings who are bound to grow through trial and error, that we can begin to heal.
I would echo that for sure. And one of the things that has hurt the most about this, and has hurt the most from the time that I started writing as a 14-year-old Pueblo mother in the making. That's when I first started writing a personal narrative. I thought, even at that young age, really deeply about some of the harm, some of the scary things that were in my community of Albuquerque, New Mexico, so many Pueblo and Diné people, but the Native women, the women of color around me, a lot of them Chicana and Black, and feeling like all of us were kind of under siege in a lot of ways, that we weren't safe in that city or possibly anywhere. We literally feel like we're in a police state and that we're constantly being harmed and harmed again. It's just not easy to think about in isolation, one man or one woman, one figure that is the bad one, represents the patriarchy. It's our systems.
I think that's part of the opportunity of having this dialogue and not not this situation or this issue or this moment being something that happens this week or for 2 weeks and is forgotten. I want us to continue to talk about this and work through this and understand what solutions we can collectively think about in moving forward. Again, I feel very strongly about that takedown or casting away of people who've truly committed some of the most heinous acts. I think that there's an important place for that. But I do not think that we need to reenact a patriarchal colonizer way of approaching justice or injustices. I want us as a community to figure out best practices and understand what is most supportive to the healing of our communities. And I'm grateful that you were okay talking together today, because I admire your work and your words and what you're doing for the community. So it's really good to have this time with you.
Well, likewise, more than I can say. I have so many words, but I hold you in the highest esteem, Tracy, so you should know that.
That was filmmakers and arts advocates Tracy Rector and Sarah Marie Ortiz wanting to improve on the hashtag MeToo script in the wake of sexual harassment allegations against author Sherman Alexie. And they're talking about seeking a better model of community healing here on The Record on KUOW Seattle.